Good morning and welcome to all, particularly our guests who join us here today for the offering of this Mass. Here at the Madeleine on this third Sunday of Advent, traditionally known as Gaudete Sunday. That's a Latin word meaning to rejoice. And that's the beginning of the antiphon for the beginning of the Mass today. So on this day, we set aside liturgically the purple vestments and put on the rose vestments. We light the rose-colored candle on the Advent wreath. For the season of Advent, this time of patiently waiting is halfway to its completion, to the celebration of the Nativity of the Lord. So today we have cause to rejoice. We rejoice also as a practice in our parish on this Gaudete Sunday to offer the anointing of the sick, which will take place after the Mass. So those in need experience Christ's love for us in our illness, in our distress. You've probably noticed that we've done a little bit of rearranging of the pews in the parish. What we've done is taken some of the shorter pews and moved them to the back in order to create places along the main aisle for our parishioners and our guests who, because of age or infirmity, be able to come into the church and be here if they need a walker or a wheelchair, or also families with special needs children, so they don't have to feel that they've been kind of relegated to the vestibule every Sunday. And so this is being done at a minimal expense. We have a little bit more work to do, as you can see. My thanks to the crew that was in here Thursday night to help move the furniture. Bishop David Condorla is asked the Catholics of the diocese to take part in an online survey to see how the Diocese of Tulsa is perceived, as well as the annual Diocesan Development Fund appeal. Access to the survey can be found through our parish website, as well as the website of the diocese. Your responses will remain anonymous. And also, since this was put out on Wednesday afternoon, by Friday there were over 1,000 responses. So you can have your chance to respond as well. Congratulations to our young friends who are here today, who yesterday took part in their first reconciliation. They're part of our procession this morning. We have a custom here in our parish that the children decorate a box in which they write down the things in which they ask for God's forgiveness. They put it in that box. And now today, in celebration of their first reconciliation, their first confession, they place it before the altar as a sign, a reminder of God's cleansing love, the forgiveness of our sins. And I have to say, for me as a parish priest, I always look forward with delight to first confessions. Not only is it, basically I put it this way, it's akin to being pelted with ping pong balls, but also, even more important, the sincerity, the trust, and the honesty of our children as they're experiencing the sacrament of mercy for the first time is always overwhelming. It's always a great day for us as a parish when we celebrate this. So ask you to please keep these children and their families in your prayers as they prepare for their first Holy Communion in April of next year. In this time of Advent, as we're preparing for the Nativity, remind you of the Wednesday evenings with the Mass and the meal. And also we begin on Friday the Advent Novena at 6 p.m. in the Chapel to pray a Rosary and Litany of the Saints. Families and individuals and parish groups are welcome to lead any one of the 9 nights of prayer leading to Christmas. And families, you can also pray this together. We have the booklets available. You can do this at home. I encourage families to do this to start a new Advent tradition. If you want to keep Christ in Christmas, it's a good way to keep Advent, particularly with novenas and special devotions. For our Christmas Eve and Christmas Day schedules, they're posted on the doors. It lets you know that our adult choir on Christmas Eve will be singing Vivaldi's Gloria prior to the 10 o'clock Mass that evening. It's going to be sung as a prelude for the Mass of the Nativity of the Lord. Now, Vivaldi's Gloria is one of the great treasures of Catholic music, and so we are calling upon one of those treasures to prepare us to celebrate the coming of the Lord. The choir is going to be singing a week from today in a concert at St. John's Parish in Bartlesville to share this gift of music. So it is a day to rejoice. Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? This is the question asked of Jesus in today's gospel, and it comes from that great Advent figure, John the Baptist. And it seems in many ways an odd question for John to ask. Because John elsewhere in the Gospels has proclaimed that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. It is John who is that voice crying out in the wilderness, in the desert, with a message of repent. The Lord is near. Prepare the way of the Lord. He is the one who says that he is unworthy to untie the sandals from the feet of the Savior. Yet now he asks of Jesus, are you the one, or should we look for another? John is asking this question from his prison cell, for he has been arrested and will later be executed for the crime of offending the rich and powerful. Specifically, Herod Antipas, who is the Jewish ruler of the Galilee region, who has married his brother Philip's wife, a woman named Herodias. And John condemns this action for its immorality, not to shame them, but to call them to repentance. And their response, especially that of Herodias, is that of vengeful hatred that's going to lead to John's execution. Saying that the Lord is near and then waiting for him to come, to arrive, perhaps is a greater challenge than John had anticipated. You know, it's easy to have faith when things are going well. Waiting for salvation when all seems lost, not so easy. Are you the one? Now, closer to home, there is a priest much in the news of late. Father Stan Rother, martyr. December the 2nd, Pope Francis declared him to be a martyr for the faith. Rother was an Oklahoma-born missionary priest who was killed in Guatemala in 1981. And now, within the next 12 months, he will be beatified, meaning that he can be honored as a saint in our country. And if you get the Tulsa World, if you can read it online, yesterday's religion section was pretty much all about Father Stan Rother, what it takes to be declared a saint, and also the influence that he had on Monsignor Daniel Muggenberg's vocation, the former pastor here at the Madeleine. So the Tulsa World, thanks for the love. We're really feeling it today, so thank you. Now, in the last year of his life, as his parishioners were becoming increasingly under threat, being caught in the crossfire of a bitter civil war in Guatemala, Rother stated that the shepherd cannot run at the first sign of danger. So he chose to stay with his parishioners. Not to run, to share in their joy and suffering as their priest and dying in the process. And for this reason, he's been declared a martyr for the faith and worthy to be seen as a citizen of heaven. Yet if you are familiar with his story, and I encourage all of us increasingly to become more familiar of his life and of his witness, in that last year of his life, Rother also admitted to his fear, to his doubts. Was he doing the right thing? Also admitted to times of helplessness, because he couldn't protect his people from the violence. He too learned that waiting for salvation, when all seems lost, is not easy. Are you the one? We have our own moments of asking this same question. We proclaim that Jesus is Savior and King. We keep the devotions of Advent. We carry out the works of mercy. We offer our right worship as we do today in the offering of this Mass. Yet we too know that having faith when times are hard is not easy. Waiting for salvation when things are difficult, when it all seems lost, is not easy. And each one of us, at one time or another, we struggle with our fears, with our doubts, with our sufferings, with our sense of hopelessness, of helplessness. As did John the Baptist. As did Stan Rother. And we also struggle with our sins and with our pain. Both John the Baptist and Stan Rother remind us that such experiences are not incompatible with the call to holiness, to being disciples, to being the church. Rather than being incompatible, such experiences, I believe, are vital. because they call us to place our trust and our hope only in the Lord. Are you the one? The answer that Jesus offers to John the Baptist is the same offered to us. What do you see and hear by my presence among you? The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to them, and blessed is the one who takes no offense in me. You know, Pope Francis is fond of referring to the church as the world's field hospital, a place where people come to find shelter, safety, and healing. Physical healings are important. And for this reason, as the church, we build and we maintain hospitals and clinics and emergency services to the poor. We engage in works of mercy, all visible signs of God's love for us. And we also believe that miracles of healing can take place. Those too are visible signs of God's love and mercy. But Advent, with its patient waiting for salvation, for the Lord's return, reminds us that the primary sufferings of this world, the primary sufferings of humanity, are not physical. They're spiritual. It's not only broken bodies, it's broken souls that cry out for healing and mercy in the field hospital that is the church. It is the healing experienced in the sacraments, the healing experienced in prayer. It is the healing experienced in acts of compassion, mercy, patience, courage, forgiveness. It is experienced in the welcome that the wounded receive when they enter the doors of the field hospital. What kind of welcome will they receive as they enter the doors of the church, where they seek healing and mercy? Soon we will celebrate the Nativity of the Lord, the incarnation of the Word of God made flesh for our salvation, and it is a cause for us to rejoice today. In Advent, we look for Him to come again, to complete the coming of the kingdom. It is this coming of the Lord that all of creation will be made new, as the prophet Isaiah tells us. The broken are healed and made whole, not only the body, but even more important, the soul. Yes, waiting for the salvation when all seems lost is difficult. It's a test of faith. The judge, as St. James tells us today, is at the gate. Yet we're to take courage by the experience of the prophets and their sufferings and their patience. Because the witness of countless men and women, including John the Baptist and Father Stan Rother, are proof that it can be done. The faith can be kept when all seems lost. And if this salvation takes place in a manner, in a timetable that we don't expect, then so be it. Let us not take offense, as others do, by what they see and hear from Jesus, the ones who will refuse to believe and will nail Him to the cross. Are you the one? Yes, Jesus replies to this question. Yes, in the healing of our broken hearts and souls. Yes, in the restoring of hope and new life, even when all seems lost, the kingdom of God will come. Advent invites us to prepare for it and to welcome it. And for this reason, we have cause to rejoice.